I'm going to tell you a story, a true story, about the supernatural intervention of our God. Actually, it's his story that he invited me into. 1 Chronicles 16, verses 7 and 8 says, "Thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful works." And Acts 1:8 says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." We already know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We also know that God speaks in many different ways. In my life, he often speaks to me in dreams and visions. So I'm going to share a dream I had. In this dream, I was at a beach for a family reunion. It was wonderful being with aunts and uncles and cousins I hadn't seen in years. We were having a great time. Suddenly, there was a commotion at the shoreline, and a crowd was gathering. I could hear the lifeguards frantically blowing their whistles. Out of curiosity, I joined the crowd. I saw them dragging an adult male figure by his arms face up out of the water and onto the sandy beach. His body was gray and lifeless. As I drew closer to the scene, I realized it was my uncle. Sadly, he had drowned. The lifeguards began shouting, "Call an ambulance! Call an ambulance!" We were all distraught. Then I heard the Holy Spirit say, "I want you to go and speak life over him." I thought to myself, "But he's dead." It didn't make sense. Even though I was scared, I chose not to focus on the situation, but rather to do just what he said.
Amen.
I quickly pushed my way through the crowd, knelt down next to his lifeless body, placed my hand on his chest, and simply said, "I speak life over you in the name of Jesus." To my amazement, his eyes popped open, and he began to cough. Everyone was shocked, especially me. As the lifeguards tended to my uncle, the crowd then turned to me and began to grasp at me. It was quite an uneasy feeling, so I ran down the beach in an attempt to get away from them. But they caught up to me, saying, You did that. You did that." And they were stroking my hair and pulling at my clothes and crowding around me and tugging at everything. It was overwhelming. In my mind, I was thinking, "Oh Lord, is this what it was like for you when you went into the crowds? This is not comfortable." I kept pushing them away from me. And I said to them, no, absolutely not. It wasn't me. God did that." And suddenly the dream ended. Now I'm awake. My heart was racing because it seemed so real. Then I audibly heard the Lord say, "That's right. Remember, it's me and not you." I said to myself, "Wow, God, you're going to do this?" I didn't share it with anyone. I just pondered it in my heart. Habakkuk 2:3 says, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." Okay, a door of opportunity opens for me. I was blessed to have an 87-year-old spiritual mother named Olga, who always greatly encouraged me in my faith journey. And I've gleaned very much from her experiences and her numerous encounters with God. She was a retired pastor and an intercessory general in God's army who had traveled to many nations during her time of service, including China. One morning in September of 2008, Pastor Olga called me and she said, "As I was praying this morning, the Lord said he wants me to go back to China. But I argued with him saying I was too old and that he should find someone younger. I asked, 'You talk to God that way?' She replied, 'Yes, he's my husband, isn't he?' She was quite a character. But he didn't accept her excuses and insisted that she return. In the past, she had traveled with a well-known Midwest missions organization, and they were planning another trip to China. So out of obedience, she agreed to go and made her entrance. She also said that God wanted her to extend an invitation to me because he had a work for me to do there. I said, 'Pastor Olga, you must have been dreaming. God hasn't even sent me across the street, never mind across the world. What would be the purpose?' Pastor Olga was very gracious and said, 'Kathy, you need to seek the Lord for yourself. I believe he's going to confirm this with you.' I have a natural sister who is an ordained minister who has traveled to many nations as a teacher of the word. And it's been my privilege to support her through prayer and finances as she went. And those trips were always very fruitful. So in my mind, I thought, 'Lord, you've got the wrong address. My sister's the one who goes, not me. But if you really want me to go, you must confirm it to me in your word.' So I placed my Bible on the table and opened it randomly." Very spiritual, right? "It opened to Isaiah 61, which said, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon you, because he has anointed you to preach good news.' Well, I said, 'Oh, okay. But Lord, that's for everybody. That can't be the confirmation.' So I closed the Bible and prayed again. 'Lord, if you really and truly want me to go, please confirm it to me.' Again, I randomly opened the Bible. This time it opened to Luke 4:18, which said the same exact thing. 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon you because he has anointed you to preach good news.' What were the chances? For those of you who know me well, I'm a planner. I like to know why I'm going. I like to know where I'm going. I like to know how I'm going, when I'm going, with whom I'm going, and when I'm going to get there. You see, this trip was comprised of about 10 pastors who were traveling directly to China from the Midwest. And I was trying to figure out logistically how Pastor Olga and I would be able to meet up with them, since we were the only two coming from the East Coast. So for the third time, I sought the Lord for confirmation. When I opened the Bible again, this is what jumped out at me. Luke 10:1, which said, "And Jesus sent them two by two." Well, at that point, I nearly fell off the chair. And now I realize this was no coincidence. God was confirming to me what he had spoken to Pastor Olga. So I contacted Pastor Olga, and she was delighted to hear of my plans to go and instructed me to make my own arrangements. When I contacted this organization, the woman began to question me. "Well, we know who Pastor Olga is, but who are you?" I replied, "Who am I? I'm nobody." She continued with, "Are you a pastor?" I said, "No." "Are you an evangelist?" "No." "Are you a teacher?" "No." The more questions she asked, the more discouraged, humiliated, and embarrassed I became. And I thought, what in the world am I doing? Lord, did I hear you right? My response was, if you're looking for credentials, I don't have any. All I know is that I'm supposed to be part of this team. Then she went on to explain that this group would be ministering over a 10-day period consisting of 3 services a day, 1 in the morning, 1 in the afternoon, and 1 in the evening. And each service would be about 3 hours long. Their plan was to alternate the 5-fold ministers. And she asked, what are you going to do when you get there? I must admit, I felt quite inadequate and began to question what God had spoken to me. I got nervous. I was just about to hang up when I heard the Holy Spirit say, tell her about your dream. I thought, but Lord, she's going to think I'm crazy. But out of obedience, I shared that God had given me a dream. So with an attitude, she replied, oh, really? Like what? I hesitated and was almost afraid to say it. But I kind of whispered, like the dead being raised. Then I held my breath. Surprisingly, she said, oh, we've seen that. Let me have your name and address, and I'll send you the application immediately. So God opened the door. Now that I was China bound, I recall the questions posed to me about my purpose. I asked the Lord what he would have me to do there. God is always faithful, and he instructed me to look up every scripture regarding the dead being raised and seeing it with your own eyes. So I listed as many of them as I could find, because it's always proper to encourage others in the word. Okay, we know that Jesus raised the dead in Luke 7:11-14, the widow's son, and Jairus' daughter in Luke 8:40-42, and Lazarus, of course. And Romans 4:17 says, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. In the book of John, when Jesus learned of Lazarus' death, Jesus said, this sickness is not, it will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. In John 11:40, then Jesus said, did I not tell you if you believe you would see the glory of God? John 11:43 at the tomb, Jesus called out a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out. Here God's Son would be glorified through what happened to Lazarus, because the miracle displays the glory of God, who alone can raise the dead. I've heard it said, but if Jesus had not called out Lazarus by his name, all of the dead would have come forth. And of course, I have scriptures referring to seeing with your own eyes, which is Deuteronomy 9:20-21, Deuteronomy 11:3, and I'm not going to read them because of time. 2 Kings 7:2, you will see it with your own eyes. Isaiah 12:6, shout and sing for joy, you people of Jerusalem, because the Holy One of Israel does great things before your eyes. The apostles raised the dead. Peter, he raised Dorcas. Paul, he raised a young man named Eucalyptus, who was sinking into a deep sleep and he fell out the window. And others saw the dead raised as well. Elijah, the widow who fed Elijah, and Elisha, the boy who was lying on the couch and died, and then Elijah laid on him and brought him back to life. In Hebrews 11:35, it says, women received back their dead raised to life again. They demonstrated their faith in God by persevering in the face of harsh trials and affliction. I have a question for you. How many know the enemy will always use people and or circumstances to discourage you from doing what God has called you to do?
That's right.
In my case, He placed several major roadblocks in my way. A financially and emotionally draining divorce, not my choice. My pastor at the time felt I was only going to carry Pastor Olga's luggage. And a passport that was to expire on October 8th. However, the trip was to take place on October 20th. It was now mid-September. I contacted the passport office, who advised that it would take between 6 to 8 weeks to renew it. But the Holy Spirit prompted me to send it anyway. And guess what? I received it back within 5 days. Not only that, the divorce grounds trial was unfounded in my favor. Hallelujah. Okay, so now we're off to China. God had his way, and we arrived safely in Beijing on October 20th at about 4 p.m. China time. There's a 12-hour time difference between the U.S. and China. This was the day after the 2008 Olympics that were held in Beijing that year. We were exhausted. The only instructions we received was that we would be picked up at the KFC at the airport. We quickly found it on the third floor and patiently waited. We waited 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, but no one showed up. Unfortunately, we did not have a contact number for the China location. The airport began to empty out until we were the only ones left waiting. No one spoke English, and we certainly didn't speak Chinese. And my cell phone did not work internationally. We decided to leave the airport, get a hotel and something to eat, but then realized we only had U.S. dollars. Oh, well. As we were exiting from the ground floor, we saw two customer service counters entitled, in English, currency exchange and hotel reservations. Hallelujah. I planned to call the U.S. office at 9 a.m. New York time, when someone would be in the office. But then I realized I didn't have the area code for America. This is the first time I had been outside of the U.S. After another frustrating hour of trying to explain to the Chinese-speaking hotel personnel what I needed, contact was made. They were extremely apologetic and explained that due to the Olympic Games, an additional international arrivals terminal had been built, which they were unaware of. That meant there were two buildings. We were waiting in Terminal A, and they were looking for us in Terminal B. Oh, well.
Wow.
Lessons learned for anyone who has any future plans. I know God has plans for all of us. Number one, get contact numbers for your destination. Use a cell phone with international capabilities. Carry the currency of the country you are traveling to beforehand. And the international area code for the U.S. is 001. The next day, we joined the rest of the team at their hotel. Pastor Olga and I settled in. As she unpacked, I noticed that she had a large Ziploc bag filled with what appeared to be prescription bottles. See, prior to our trip, she had been hospitalized 3 times over an 18-month period for her heart. And her family really didn't want her to travel. But I chose to put the bag back in my mind. After learning about the upcoming hectic schedule and experiencing a little jet lag myself, I encouraged Pastor Olga to lie down and get some sleep before dinner. I hopped into bed, but she seemed to have a second wind and began praying in the spirit and singing and just rejoicing. She was very happy to be back in China. The Lord had given her a special love for the Chinese people. Finally, she did lie down, but only 20 minutes to the time we had to get ready for dinner. She was fast asleep and snoring loudly. I quickly got dressed and then woke her up. We were to meet the rest of the team in the lobby. I escorted her to a sofa in the lobby and told her to relax until everyone else arrived. She didn't hesitate to do so and immediately fell back to sleep, continuing to snore even louder. Now, Pastor Olga is usually very talkative. I mean, she's constantly praying in the spirit, even when you are with her, sitting right next to her, when I'm driving in the car with her, she is constantly praying in the spirit. She's listening to what I'm saying, she'll respond to what I'm saying, but she'll go right back into praying in the spirit. Anyway, she always, I enjoyed her company. Then the president of the organization came and introduced me to the rest of the team. He stated that we were invited for dinner by the local Chinese pastors. And since the restaurant in Beijing was only 3 blocks away, we would walk there. Beijing is like a small Manhattan. I approached Pastor Olga, gently woke her up, and told her it was time to go. She remained quiet. I took her by the arm and we left for the restaurant. However, the closer we got to the restaurant, the more heavily she was leaning on me. This was unusual, but I figured she was just tired. Upon arrival, our group was seated at a huge round table. I sat Pastor Olga to my left and began a conversation with the gentleman seated on my right. Suddenly, as the food service began, her face fell right onto her plate. I turned to ask if she was all right, but got no response. I began to gently shake her in order to wake her up. Still no response. I continued shaking her. Then she barely lifted her head. She didn't open her eyes. And all I got was blah, 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 like that. And I was like, oh my goodness, what is happening here? It appeared as if she was having a stroke since she couldn't speak. One of the pastors said, it's probably just jet lag. And another asked, is she a diabetic? Because she looks like she's going into a diabetic coma. Yet another said, I think we need to call an ambulance. OMG. At that point, I thought, okay, they're going to come in here. They're going to rush her off to a hospital to God knows where and have questions for who? Probably me, since I was her friend and traveling companion. But the fact of the matter is that although she's my friend, I didn't know anything about her medical history. I didn't even know the name of her doctor or what medication she's on. Besides, I would have to deal with the language barrier again. However, I knew in my spirit that I was not to let them whisk her away. I asked the group to help me get her back to the hotel. So they literally carried her out of the restaurant, put her into the taxi, and escorted us back to the hotel room. They placed her on her bed and left. Pastor Olga was totally unconscious. I tried again and again to wake her up. I was even patting her on the face, pinching her hand, still with no response. I knelt at her bedside to see if her chest was moving and even placed my finger under her nose. She was barely breathing. Then the enemy began to speak to me. He said, she is gone. And you're going to have to take her out of here in a body bag. And that's only if you can get her body out of the country. Not only that, her family is going to blame you. Then she stopped breathing altogether. Now we're in a major crisis. I was freaking out. SOS to Jesus. Suddenly there was a knock at the door. It was the whole team of the Chinese pastors. The translators explained that they knew this was very serious and came to pray. I swung the door open wide and they all filed along the walls of the small hotel room. Everyone was praying, they in their language and me in my panic mode. Then two of the women came over to Pastor Olga, lifted her arm by the wrist and felt for a pulse. With tears in their eyes, they looked at each other, dropped their heads, and nodded to each other. No, confirming there was none. Oh no, Lord, oh no, I cried. Lord, you didn't bring Pastor Olga all the way back here for her to die in China. How would you get glory out of that? Time seemed to stand still. Then I distinctly heard the Lord say, remember the dream? Oh, my Lord. I said, yes, yes, okay, Lord, okay. So under the unction of the Holy Spirit, I placed my hand on her chest, put my mouth to her ear, and I said, Pastor Olga, I speak life over you in the name of Jesus. We all continued to pray. I don't know how much time passed, but all of a sudden, she took a deep breath, sat up, opened her eyes, looked around the room, and she said, oh, is it time to go to dinner? She had no recollection of anything of what had transpired. What? We were all stunned. I was speechless. The team members began jumping up and down, twirling around, clapping their hands and praising God. Some of the women came over to her.
Amen.
And happily saying, oh, Pastor Olga, she okay now, she okay. I immediately began to question her. Pastor Olga, did you see a bright light? She looked at me strangely and said, no. I said, did you see Jesus? She said, no. I continued, Pastor Olga, I don't understand this, but you weren't here for a while. Are you sure you didn't see anything? And again, she replied, no, and appeared to be a little agitated by my questions. Now the group wanted to return to the restaurant, but I couldn't move. I was trying to reason out what I just witnessed. I said, I'm not going anywhere, and I'm certainly not hungry anymore. And neither was Pastor Olga. And so they left. I turned to her and said, look, I don't really know what happened here tonight, but in your prayer time, please ask the Lord, because I'm not really sure. Then we decided to get some much needed sleep. Early the next morning, Pastor Olga was tiptoeing around the room in the dark with a flashlight looking for her toothbrush. She was trying not to disturb me. But I was so thrilled to see her up and about. I turned on the light and I asked how she was feeling. And to my amazement, this is what she said. I feel fabulous. But Kathy, how are you doing? I thought you were having a nervous breakdown last night because of all the confusion at the airport and the hotel. You were frantic and kept asking me all those questions that I had no answers to. But now I do. I prayed this morning, and you know what God told me? He said, the devil was so angry that I was coming back to China that he wanted to kill me. And in fact, I did die. But I resurrected you. And now you go raise the dead. I was like blown away. I said, oh my God, Pastor Olga, it's true. It's true. It's true. You did die, but he brought you back to life. And I saw it with my own eyes. He is who he says he is, and he does what he says he will do.
Amen.
He went on to say, I am just amazed that God sent me all the way back here to China just to prove to you that he still raises the dead. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
As we prepared for the meetings that day, I reviewed my notes, which now clearly made sense. You see, I was to come before the people, not just to read the scriptures referring to the dead being raised and seeing it with my own eyes, but now present them as a witness, knowing this is truth. Thank you, Father God. Glory to your name.
Amen.
I've heard it said that adversity is God's university, and it introduced you to yourself. Was the missions trip easy? No. Was it worth it? Absolutely yes. Things can be changed, and they certainly changed in China. Not only that, I was changed. I wage prophetic warfare against death based on a dream from the Lord, and God was glorified. My dream became the enemy's nightmare, and what he meant for evil, God turned for the good. The result is this testimony for such a time as this. It's time for the greater works, brothers and sisters. And he's no respecter of persons. Amen. There are numerous examples of how things were changed by many through faith, trust, and obedience to the word. Jesus' first miracle. They ran out of wine at the wedding feast of Cana. And after doing what he said, they had the best. Things were changed. Jesus in the storm. The disciples were drowning and were going to perish, but Jesus rebuked the wind and waves. And as soon as he spoke, the sea became completely calm, and things were changed. Peter, as the fisherman who fished all night and caught nothing, but as Peter did as Jesus said, they caught so much fish that they needed help from others to bring in the catch, and things were changed. The crippled man. His friend's faith caused him to be healed. Jesus told him to pick up his mat and go home. As the man did as Jesus said, the man walked home and things were changed. God demands our action as well as our believing. Faith expresses itself in obedience. Faith activates God's power. Faith moves him to action, bringing to your life his very glory. I thank God for the gift of faith. Morris Cirillo says, faith is a fact, but faith is an act. In my case, I heard the voice of the Lord, stepped out in faith, believing, and became a witness. Now, Hebrews 11:1 talks all about faith. I'm sure you're all thoroughly familiar with that. What is our job? To only believe. Matthew 17:20, it says, nothing will be impossible for you. Mark 9:23, Jesus said, everything is possible for him who believes.
Amen.
Mark 10:27, all things are possible with God. Luke 1:37, for nothing is impossible with God. Luke 18:27, what is impossible with man is possible with God.
Right.
Don't ever let people or circumstances discourage you from what God calls you to do. I've learned that it doesn't take a title or a piece of paper in order for God to use us. After all, Jesus used 12 ordinary men to do extraordinary things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you a change agent for the Lord? I've heard it said that God does not call the qualified, but qualifies the called. Doesn't matter what anyone else may think, you are not qualified to do. See yourself as God does. Remember, the same resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead resides in you.
Amen.
In conclusion, God gave me a dream. God backed up the dream through his word. Then God demonstrated the power of his word. Go where he tells you to go. Do what he tells you to do, and then watch what he does. Jesus commands you to go, because Matthew 28:18 says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to you. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Matthew 10:7. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Surely, freely you have received, freely give. Praise God. So here I am, said to go and tell. Psalm 105 says, give thanks to the Lord, pray to him, tell the nations what he has done, sing to him, sing praise to him, tell about his miracles, be glad that you are his. Let those who seek the Lord be happy, depend on the Lord and his strength, always go to him for help, Remember the miracles he has done. Remember his wonders. 1 Chronicles 16:8. Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful works. 1 Chronicles 16:11. Look to the Lord in his strength, seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles. 1 Chronicles 16:24. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among the peoples. Psalm 9:1. I will tell all the miracles you have done. Psalm 9:11. Tell the nations what he has done. And Luke 24:48. You are witnesses. And finally, Mark 5:36 says, be not afraid, only believe. So we thank you, Father. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for whose we are. You are a great and mighty God. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what you've done before, you will do again and again and again. I thank you, Lord. You're no respecter of persons. So, Father, we just thank you. We thank you for the privilege of serving you, Father God. And I bless all in the name of Jesus. Amen.